Welcome to Island Music Chat. I am Nigel Campbell, and today we'll be speaking to St. Lucian artist Tedison John before his stripped Carnival Magic concert on the 31st of January at the Lord Kitchener Auditorium at Napa in Port of Spain, Trinidad.
I was having a vibe, quarter past morning, sleeping me eye, but the melody have me. I call on the guys, we started writing all of this time. The music just wouldn't leave me. I say turn out the speaker, put some bass on the Twitter. Don't take me away from the music now, sweeter and sweeter, taking me higher.
Morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? How are you? How are you? Are you in Trinidad or are you in St. Lucia?
I am in Trinidad.
Look at that. How is the season treating you so far?
Beautiful. Beautiful. My contributions are out, you know.
How many tracks are you about this year?
I have about two. I was supposed to have a couple more, but we held this back. One of them, Patsy was on it in terms of rhythm that had to come out because we didn't want to put it out, you know, without her. There are a couple of things that we left back, you Got know, you. But I have three out. The one at Nyla, Love Language, you have the tape deck rhythm, you know, classics by Garland, Rough Tops by Skinny, Don't Worry About Mine, me and King Bubba. I produced that with King Bubba. And also we have the menu on the greatness rhythm.
Rhythm seem to be dominating Carnival this year. Well, last year certainly too.
To the point that
the idea of individual idea and the individual music kind of has taken a back seat. I mean, is that your observation?
It's my observation, and it's something that what I also found was happening too. There's a lot of songs that probably people didn't put out, you know, the year before that was already, you know, recorded. So this year they kind of just went with it.
I understand it fully because, well, Boxing Day here in Trinidad, at least a couple, they say, I didn't really count it. A couple hundred songs were released. I mean, it's all because of the short season. I think it's 2 weeks shorter than before. Of course, so much, somebody had used the phrase, the tyranny of choice. There's so much music and thing. But Tedison, what you are doing, I think, is so far it is unique, right? In terms of taking your catalog and remixing it. And as far as I'm seeing, remixing it for a different audience, right?
Thank you.
I want you to give me a little bit of the history of that whole idea in terms of the genesis of the idea of saying, okay, I have hits, I have people can dance and I can have Pali and then. What made you decide, okay, I want to go in another direction? What was that genesis about? Help me.
I just think there's so much more that we can see where sometimes it makes you feel like, okay, like we're the only genre that have dates, you know, on our music. This is, you know, 2023, this is 2022, this is 2020, you know, four. Mm-hmm. So it makes you feel like your catalog, you know, is not even existing, you know, because of the dates that we have on our stuff. And the truth is that the world is our platform, you know, right. The world is our canvas, the world is our platform. There are people that have never heard, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's quite true.
You know, the world don't hear about, they don't really care about titles, you know. There's so many things and people that you can touch with the music. I just decided there's an audience that's in the Jump and Wave and Run Day and the Cooler Fets, and there's nothing wrong with that because this is part of, you know, the carnival vibe and festivities. But there's a niche market of people that, you know, may not attend these things, but that like that, you know, calm down, chill out, you know, kind of vibe. So for me, it's a level of intimacy there and vulnerability there that is not really, you cannot really get on a big stage. When I came up with the idea for that, this stems from so many things. When COVID hit, right, I realized a lot of us as soca artists was kind of nervous as to, okay, what's next? Because there's no carnivals, you know, there's no carnivals. So I said to myself, our music cannot only be based, you know, on a carnival season or a carnival space when every other genre of music, you know, is thriving because bodies of work coming out, they're putting out bodies of work, they, you know, they do their streams, they're doing certain things. But us, we're based on a festive, you know, aspect, you know, of the season. So we figured that there's no need to put out music because it, you know, no carnival, so you're not really going to, you know.
I know in 2022 when there were kind of rumblings that they may have a carnival, but it may be a little smaller carnival. Of course, a lot of music was held back. But the idea of, you use the word festive, right? You also use no season. Because, well, I could also suggest that Christmas music is focused on one point.
Which is true.
But I think in terms of what you had been doing is that you were able to utilize your catalog, which I think is important.
A lot of
artists who have shows, whether it's large as Barclays Center or even the kind of thing. So they literally only concentrate on the most recent, almost like not even a greatest hits, but a current thing. So that idea of taking your catalog made sense. How far back does your catalog go that you're utilizing this music from?
Well, like from like 2000, and I would say, well, I came into the industry, my first soca song was 2007 was my first soca song. But between 2007 and probably 2010 or 12, you understand, I was kind of like trying to find myself as to, okay, what is what, you know, because when I came in St. Lucia, a lot of people didn't really know where I came from, but I was always there, but I was just doing more of the jazz, you know, vibes, still in my gospel doing stuff, but I had these type of influences. But the songs that I decided to, like, I'm in a space right now, Nigel, where I am not afraid anymore, you understand, to be able to let music be heard, you know, and give the story behind, you know, what it is, you know, and just be able to let people know what it is. And your point was very valid in terms of sometimes, you know, you have probably artists that may not be, you know, confident to let, they probably hear more of the popular ones, the popular one, and just leave everything, you know, behind. It's just been our mindset and how we've been, you know, probably trained, you understand, in like how the culture has probably shaped, you know, our mindset. and what it is. So from an artist's point of view, you know, I could understand because I was that person,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for that, that, you know, I used to have my band members tell me, but Teddy, you're not doing, why you're not doing that song, or why you not, you know, let people know and let people. So I was that person, but I've just changed my mindset. It's changed where that has come into play.
When you said you saw me after you, because I think in the last trip you mentioned that you used to work on a cruise ship and you were doing R&B gospel,
yes,
and that kind
yes,
of stuff.
Yes.
But what, when you said, okay, I'm going to start doing soca, were you doing soca for the St. Lucian Carnival or was it for the Trinidad Carnival? What was your idea in terms of converting into a soca artist?
Well, it was the two guys that was responsible for me actually getting me in studio and doing that. That's Pen and Ace of Studio 758. Yeah. There's one artist that I look up to and I look up to today, you understand, as to one of the reasons, if I had to do soca, I would come in because of him. And there's a group of guys that I looked up to them as a unit and a, you know, and a band as to what they were doing. The artist is Kerwin Dubois. You understand? When I heard Kerwin and his approach and certain things, he's different, you know, than a lot of different artists. And then, you know, his approach to the music, you know, the way that he gets in, his productions, going in his process. I've been fortunate to be a part of that and see it for myself, you know, as to where it is. But before I even got to know Kerwin, when I used to hear little songs, you know, and at that time I was on the cruise ship, Penn was the drummer.
Yes.
Penn was in my band, you know, on the cruise ship. And then Penn used to make us listen to different things. So listen to Marshall, listen to, you know, Galen, you listen to everybody, you listen to Kerwin, you listen to, but I just got stuck with Kerwin because of the type of vibe and his songs, his sound. So I was like, if I ever had to come in, you know, that guy is somebody that, you know, gave me that inspiration to do the group part of it is Kes, you know, the band in terms of their unity and everybody's on the same page, their mission, their goal, you know, what they want to do, and that brother, literal brotherhood with them. So these are two of the guys that really influenced
me
and my decision into, yes, wanting to come in it. So that the first year that I went into it was, you know, with Penn and them. They actually tricked me into it. Eh? They told me I'm doing a demo because I didn't want to go and do it full because I was still in church, you know, before they say I backside.
Peer pressure.
So Penn was like, Teddy, I have something that is the same. You like your R&B, you like your little thing, but you can just do the same thing over that. You know, you don't have to, you understand? So I said, okay, I go try something. But I said, I'm not going to put that out. So they tell me, okay, just do that little demo, you know, and we will give that to another artist. Two shake and a break. I had a demo playing on radio, spinning.
Wow.
You know, pulling up.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I have an opinion about not so much fooling an artist, but demo quality vocals. Because you may have decided, okay, it's just a demo. I'm not going to give them 100%. I'll give them 75%.
But here's the thing. I sing the demo like it's me singing the song. Like, I sing it and then it's real organized. So when I hear that on radio, you know, I ended up being in opening a carnival. I ended up being in, you know, in shows with the bigger artists because I came in to see people like Ricky T there. I saw people like Ninja Dan, Alpha, you know, there's a bunch of people that I looked up to at home, but I was the new one. So I used to watch them come. I used to come to the field and watch them in the Soca Monarchs. And I was I just used to be in the back watching and observing. So then when I came in 2007, I ended up being in a groovy Monarch in St. Lucia and I won the competition, you know. So I won the competition, the first ever groovy Monarch in St. Lucia in 2007. And from there, every year, everybody wanted to find out what I was going to do. But again, it was for the St. Lucian market. I wasn't I wasn't really too familiarized so much with what the Trini market was about. I just know of some of the artists that I like, you know, to hear some of this stuff.
Well, I think you've already crossed over to the Trini market. Of course, the first time I heard it was Pali, right?
And we
heard you singing all the time. And I said, this fellow is not bad, you know. And the music was different in the sense that Trini has a certain understanding what the rhythm sounds like. And here was this thing that had a kind of, you know, kind of, well, it was, I don't know, I wouldn't call it denery, but certainly a kind of Creole sentiment that was a lot
Creole
different.
Kind of vibe, mm-hmm. A Creole kind of vibe mixed with the Afro kind of soccerish kind of denery. It was just a mixture of you know, things different. I'm a full-fledged musician, so I tend to get more into the music. I play these instruments, so it being able to put it together, it just came, you know, a little bit seamless, just from the ideas going in, you know.
What band are you with? I just want to to get my facts correct. Are you with the A-Team band or are you with the All Stars?
I'm with the All Stars. All Stars has always been, you know, my family. Blacks, you know, brought me in together, you know, and introduced the juice, and it's just been, they've been an amazing family, you know. They're not a band, they're a family.
A family.
You know, a family, and everybody there, you know, have love and respect for them and welcome me with open arms and allow me to, you know, still, you know, do what I do. And respect, we have that mutual respect for each other where they understand and they've seen what I do and they understand the vision of what I do and they support me also. Yeah. So that's my Trini family.
Okay, well, part of that vision, of course, as you said, was certainly, I'd heard it was called Caribbean Moscato, a record that you had put out some years ago. I was able to do it Caribbean beat and I said, wow, this is so different. Laura Dorich actually had heard it before me. She said, you've got to hear this thing. It's so, so cool.
Oh, my goodness.
I was able to check out Strip last year, which was your debut concert in Trinidad. The 31st of January this year, you are with 10 artists back again in Trinidad at Napa doing Strip, of course, I guess, courtesy St. Lucia Tourism. But beyond that, I think what you've done is now almost like setting a new standard for the other way that soca music can be presented. I mean, this year, I'm looking at your list here. You have Nadia, you have Kes, you have Allison Hines, you have Michael Teja, you have Destra, Skinny Pablos.
Yeah.
Hold. Shemi J and KO. Are they? I think KO is a St. Lucian.
Yes, Kayo is a Saint Lucian that lives in Canada.
Yes,
Sentence, yeah,
I saw him at
yeah,
Saint Lucia Jazz last
yeah,
last time.
yes. And he was on tour with me. I brought him on tour with me. During the Man With No Daughter with Kes.
With
You
guests, yeah.
understand? Shemi J is an amazing up and coming, artist in Saint Lucia, which reminds me of myself, because sometimes I just remember the days I used to knock, on these doors and trying to get that opportunity, to be heard and certain things like that. And certain people gave me the opportunities, some people didn't, but I just want to be a bridge that if I see somebody that he has an amazing spirit, an amazing heart, his vibe, is like a soca afro kind of vibe. He has some amazing catalog. He's a young, guy in Saint Lucia, and I just wanted to give him that opportunity to introduce him to Trinidad and the same kind of vibe and love Trinidad gave to me. I'm hoping, that they would stretch out to him as well. He's an amazing guy,
Yeah, so
so I just wanted to.
you're acting as a mentor also. But
Yes,
in terms
we
of the
do.
show in 2024, I mean, as I said, last year production value was very high, costume
Thank you,
change,
thank
all
you,
that kind of stuff. And I
thank you.
said,
Thank
I
you,
mean,
thank
I
you.
said it openly in the review. I said, this is where our artists need to go. It's all well and good to
Wow,
have FET and
wow.
that kind of stuff. But this is
Nigel, you want
really,
to make me cry. You want to make me cry. Can
well,
I cry in
I think you
the
cried last at the press conference, but I think this is something that you also need to travel with, in the sense of this could go to
Yes,
audiences anywhere in the world,
yes. And
right?
that is what we are planning to do. I am
Tell me about
so.
that plan, if you don't mind, in terms of.
For me, right? That is where. Okay, let me tell you where my head is right now and what influenced a lot. The mere
Please.
fact that this package is what can be the difference, in the music or the other path, and that you can actually create your own audience, you understand, apart from something else, apart from carnivals, in different things. When I went on tour with Kes, and I want to thank, Kes and them for allowing us to do that and giving us that platform to be able to come out and see, what it really is and what we can do, the possibilities of what we can do. I wanted to have a proper body of work. We don't we need a proper structure in terms of the bodies of work that we have and can put together and be able to. You have that body of work streaming. You have that body of work, and you base your tour around that. So for me, I am in the process with the team in putting these, events together where it's
Yes.
nice and intimate, like an intimate evening with Telethon Joy, strip an intimate evening, and you have it, you create your own audience around that. You understand? It the 50 people will turn to 100 people, 100 people will turn to 200, 200 will turn to 300, but you keep that intimacy and that kind of vibe. So I'm working on presently working on two albums right now with the music. You understand, and being able to go down that road and being able to take that package, you understand, and being able to travel and do that package and do a proper East Coast tour, a proper West Coast tour, a proper European tour with the right in the right venues too, eh? The venues that are where your data is collected. Another thing that we learned on the tour, we've been doing things for the wrong way for so long,
Yes, Tedis. Yes.
a
Go
lot
ahead.
a lot of A lot of the big venues, yeah, we perform in car parks and by the beach, and we do these big venues, but there's no data to support what we do. So we
Correct.
want to go to the Grammys, we want to have the seat by the table, but we have no, data to back up what we do. So the venues that I went to perform with Kes and them, the House of Blues, the Fillmores, you understand, the Echo, the Tabernacle, all of these venues are venues where your data is accepted. Every night we had to sign, something that states, something. So I can now go to say, okay, let me see what my Spotify numbers are. Where are the people that listen to me the most? You understand? And then you tackle these places,
Data, data,
with
data runs the music industry. You're so correct.
data at it right now. So we just been doing things, for a wrong way, and it's never too late. It's not too late to change. It's really not too late to change. It's
A
just
lot of
that
people
every
don't know, and I think that has been the biggest. We're having a conversation in Trinidad about that whole thing about just how successful soca is and where why yes. it's not crossing over as it was. And yes, as you rightly yes. say, you have to perform in venues where you can collect data, Polestar can yes. notice and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Chartmetric could check all your Spotify ranking, your social media ranking.
Yes.
And our artist, Oblivious, said that I played in a party in somebody's house yesterday and it had 500 people and they're happy about mm-hmm. that. I said, well, who knows about that? You're telling me 500. What if it's 300? I mean, there's no accuracy to metrics.
Exactly. Mm. So imagine imagine Kessin them, you know, the Izwi, the festival, how huge this is. Yeah. And Kessin them understood that they had to, you know, go down in numbers to be able to go into these venues, mm-hmm. specific venues that soca is never really a part of.
You have to build. It's correct.
And if you in order for you to build, you have to change the way that you actually see it. You cannot see it as a hustle. You cannot see it as a seasonal. You know, you cannot see it as just okay, a season. You know, and then after the season, the radio switch. You know, the switch. I have a problem with that. You know, if soca is what it is, it's not supposed to be a switch. You know, where you go. So we cannot. I don't know. The way that we see it and the way that we treat it, I think it's just doing a disservice to what I think it can be, the potential of what I think it can be. But there's a lot of people, and there's 9 billion people in the world, and they don't know, not everybody knows what we do and where we put in a date on our stuff, you know, and considering forgetting our catalog, you know, of music. I just think it's wrong.
It is wrong. And but one of the things that you're doing to make it right, of course, is doing stripped. A second time in Trinidad at Napa, our largest hall in Trinidad, at least.
And
you have the support of St. Lucia Tourism Authority, and I think that is critical in terms of your movement throughout the Caribbean and that kind of stuff.
We are friends. Listen to me. We got some real talent in St. Lucia. Yeah. I want to bring on my brother right now. I want to bring on my boy, Kale. Listen to me. This is St. Lucia's finest right there.
Yeah. Queen, you're the one of my dreams. It seems you've been sowing them seeds, watching them growing the trees. Raw to all of your fruit, raw to all of your leaves. Pray you know just when to leave all of your demons behind you. Just here to remind you that God has designed you with heaven inside you. As much beauty inside as is on the surface. Not always easy to love, but you are always worth it. You crazy, that will make you perfect. So searching in this broken world make you lose your purpose. Not you, resilience and strength that you exude. A goddess in the new, a whole vibe is savage, you a moon. Love you to the moon and back, do anything for my views.
You are my kana, kana, kana. Kana, kana, kana. Kana, kana, kana. You are the best of the best for me. Baby, you got that a pretty little smile. I spot you anywhere for my baby. I'm looking in your profile. I know I'm nobody to please, baby. But I'm not alone. I'm full of vibe, never boring. I'm flawless with the flooring. And you give me a new. I'm
cream of the crop, best of the best, two to the top, you know what you got. I love what you are, love what you're not. Girl, but you got me here in this spot. It's lush as the greenery and the scenery. Girl, you already know what you mean to me. God always give us just what we need. And you done show me a reason to believe in myself. I love your vibe, love your eyes, love your strength. Oh, you got me high, give me high, give me lean. Oh, this is it, hey, what a trip, hey, such a few, hey, this is true, hey, it's nothing new. Whoa, such a vibe, yeah, the stars align, hey, we take our time, yeah, serendipity got us up to the sign, yeah, but we'll be fine.
Tell me a little bit, I'll give me some details about this year's production as opposed to previous productions. What I know Kes is your partner, he's on, but tell me about how you came about getting these particular guests on your show.
Well, for me, we wanted to, number one, show the versatility and how the music can be presented. I didn't want, you know, too much of the, you know, same cast, you know, from from last year. So being able to arrange their music in a different way and just making them see that, hey, this is possible and you can actually do it. You know, you can actually go down that that road with it. I think a lot of artists understand, they know what it is, but we just in a culture that makes you a little bit afraid, you know, that if you can, you do this and you do that, you know, it's like you gotta jump with both feet in. You know, with something like that, we the production of what Carnival Magic is and the all the elements that create the magic of Carnival, you know, is what you're going to get on that night. Seeing the artists in a very different light. I want to big up, you know, Abeo, you know, which is our creative
Abeo,
you know,
Jackson, director. Yes.
Abel Jackson, which is our creative director, and we sit together and we talk about these stories, and I learn from her and she learns from me, and everybody, you know, everybody learns from each other. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have an amazing show this time. I am just so grateful that people decided to buy into it. You know, last year it was nerve-wracking, you know, for me, because I was afraid of what, you know, would have happened if I did, you know. And sometimes the truth is you have to jump.
You've got a positive result. I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to jump, no matter what it is. And there's no losses, there's lessons. You know? Mm. So I thank the Most High and the universe for bringing that to pass and bringing that to life. Napa is a place that is very special to me. Napa is a place that I always manifested, you know, performing in. Like, I did what I wanted to do. It just, the ambience of the place just lends, you know, mm-hmm. to that kind of vibe. And mm-hmm. I walked around it. I drove around it. I went inside one day. I sneaked inside. Security let me see it, mm-hmm. you know, what mm-hmm. it looking like. And I just walked the stage. And I don't mind performing in places like that for the rest of my career.
It's 1,100 seats in proper ambiance, as you rightly say. That kind of suggests
in
that,
proper ambiance, yeah. Yes.
As you brought, well, one of the other questions I wanted to ask was in terms of your arrangements. Who does the arrangements of the music? And I'm assuming you're going to be also rearranging your guests' music. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, I have my musical director, Daniel from St. Lucia, and also myself. We go back and forth, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of arranging. Sometimes there's ideas that I hear and I call, mm-hmm. I sing it, I send him a voice note, or I sing it out. Certain things that when we're in a band room, you know, mm-hmm. we just sit and put things together, you know. So between Daniel and myself, you know, we come up with the ideas, you know, for the music. present it to the band. You know, we put it, sometimes we give it to the artist so that they can understand what it is. Okay, sometimes you don't know, like, where you're coming in at a specific time because the music is a little different. Sometimes we keep it a little bit closer to the original, but more stripped in terms of, you know, you go a different way, we pull out, there's no samplers and rhythm,
yes,
you know,
thank
and
you.
That kind of fact. There's no lead vocal in there, it's vocals we want, you understand? So,
learn to
you
sing, understand? As Farman Happy said, you have to sing. I didn't come here, you have to sing. If you can't sing, it's a time.
I also think, one of the components of the show that stood out for me, and I can't wait to hear the stories because sometimes you have the song, but you don't understand where the song came from, and you don't understand the story or what was in the person's mindset when they pick up a pen and paper and wrote it. You understand? So it would be lovely to hear certain things, and you get to hear the process of the artist. You know, so that's where the transparency and vulnerability comes in for me, where these songs come from. You can introduce songs to, you know, people that they've never heard, but if you introduce that song and let them know where that song come from, they will totally appreciate that material from you. So it's a mixture of different things that we're excited to be able to do.
That banter, I think, is so important. And as I said, it lends itself to a kind of sophisticated event, which is something that some people kind of shun at a carnival time. Just out of curiosity, did you get any resistance to the rearrangements from your guests in 2023? Did anybody say, don't do it like this?
No, I didn't. Funny enough, because people trust. I think I got a lot of the artists that we've had, right, we had on that show. When they came to St. Lucia, they played, my band played for them. Like, they would probably be on my show, Euphoria, in St. Lucia. So they trust my air as a musician. If I tell you I have you, that means I have you. I would have everything on lock. So it was just nice to know. I explained to them what it was, you know, and it was nice to know that we could have just arranged it in a different way, you know, or add certain elements that you can understand, and it worked out pretty well. I didn't get any resistance, you know, from that, because they trusted the fact that we were able to pull it off and do it. So we used to, when we did the rehearsal or the arrangement, we used to send them the arrangement first so they get accustomed to it as to what. Some of them we may probably need to change the key, you know, a little bit, and low down the key, or some of them used to have a lot of shows for the carnival season, so at that night, your voice might not be too well.
Yeah, watch
so
out for Michael Changer in 2024.
I know, right? I don't change the key here.
Yeah. As I said, I do. Yeah. We only have about 15 minutes left, but one of the things that I this template that you set, I mean, it's the second year in Trinidad, and of course, you did it in St. Lucia when you did Moscato. What is the length of this show? How long is this show going to be for? Is it at 1 hour? 2 hours?
My- 1 hour, 2 hours. Last year, it was about 3 hours. Last year,
I know the answer, but go ahead. Let's see it. Let me hear it. So 3 hours. You plan to have an intermission in this event, or just 3 hours?
No, intermission. You can't. Yes. We can't break that vibe there. Not at all.
Yes.
Not at all. There's no intermission. It's very entertaining. From last year, if you notice, and engaging, you know, a lot of things. There are a lot of things that was happening backstage that you guys had no clue what is happening, because on stage, you know, but I had an amazing team of people that was just keeping me, you know, sane. Daniel Tonya and Avio, you know, it was just calm in the back there. So the way that we do it and keep it entertaining and engaging, engagement is a big thing for me. That's a part of what I was doing when I was, you know, doing cabaret shows also. You understand? At the different quotes. So that aspect of being able to hold on to an audience and have an audience there, you know, for a time, and don't have them feeling away, it's a good thing to be able to do.
That what you've just said there, I think, is so critically important, because we have a fet aesthetic, as a phrase that
you use.
And the way that artists engage with audiences is not one where a person is sitting down and maybe rocking the head side to side. They want somebody to be jumping up. And if they're not jumping up, they think
because
something is
we feel that's the only way you can get a forward. If you see hands and rag and flag and run there, that means you're not doing something good. And our mentality again is because of how the culture has basically changed or made us look into certain things. Some of the artists that you mentioned, sometimes it's hard and it can get depressing for you to feel like, okay, you have a catalog of music, but the culture makes it in a way that, okay, what you have this year. Like how do you tell, okay, would you look at Barry Salmon and tell Barry Salmon what you have this year?
No.
You can't do that. You understand? I mean, you wouldn't look at Shaggy. You wouldn't look at, you know.
There are global superstars who are touring, major, major superstars, and touring on catalogs at 60 years old. Paul McCartney's around the world playing stadium, singing songs at 60 years old. The Rolling Stones, despite the fact they have a brand new album, all the hits are from at least 40 years ago.
Nigel, exactly my point. But we the only genre that makes it so and makes it so disposable that the respect is not given to artists that has catalog.
Do you think you have an influence in terms of swaying the minds of some of your fellow soca artists to think about that idea? Because it's something that you're the first person I'm seeing doing this. I mean, maybe a Sparrow or something. So, but the idea of using your catalog in a different way. What is your influence in terms of convincing some of your fellow colleagues to try this kind of way?
I am hoping with what people see, and I am hoping that I can be a seed in that way also to say, okay, if Teddy can, you know, if Teddy confident to get that done. You understand? There's a lot of artists that's been in the game long before me. Mm-hmm. I grew up looking at these artists, you know. I grew up looking, I couldn't even really go to any of the shows because I still used to go to church. So I used to say, you know.
I know you kind of mentioned it in the past, but I know the church had obviously a major influence on your lifestyle and that kind of stuff. What made you say, you know what, church, I love you, but I need to start doing this thing because is it a financial reason? Your philosophy changed? What?
To tell you the truth, I was still there. And I figured what I was doing is something that I love to do. I mean, I wasn't in any other, you know, career that is bad to say, you know. I ain't singing no kind of, you know, old lyrics or murderous lyrics or, you know, this and that. Like, I ain't doing that. So what could have, you know, and the same church people that used to say things, they used to be at the concerts. The church people used to be at the concert, so they used to ask me to get there. You used to see them in Colony Red and different events and Euphoria in St. Lucia. So sometimes I was like, okay, there's nothing wrong I'm doing, you know? And I just figured, okay, especially the time where I changed, you know, a lot of the lyrics and the kind of vibe and went more the inspirational, you know, aspect of it. It became more comfortable for me to do. You know what I mean?
I got you.
But a lot of the other artists, they have years in this game, and I look up to them, you know. But sometimes when you from a place that if you're living in a place that probably makes you feel that, okay, your stuff is not, you know, good anymore, because every year you literally have to, okay, what you have this year, every year we have to wheel and come again, you know, like every year we had a wheel and come again, and then you go to studio and you end up doing music not because, you know, you love it. You end up doing music to just try to, you know, get in or put out the quality of the song that may not be good, just to try to fit in something and get that kind of vibe. But it's something I feel you just have to make a decision stand your ground and know that you'll be, you know, okay. So I'm hoping that with the taste that everybody got of it, that they would say, you know what, this is the other side and this can happen. You know, this really, really can happen. I can create a community like that and do that. It really can happen.
Your last question, because as I said, my time is nearly up. In terms of your musicians, last say you walked off with 4 St. Lucians. Are you walking with any St. Lucians? So you're walking with St. Lucian musicians and your Trinidadian counterparts?
Cool. Yes. Same band, same vibe, same energy, same horn section, same percussionist, you know, my background vocals, my guys. It's just a mixture of my Trinidadian and St. Lucian family.
Got you. You know?
So just bringing in everybody and having a good time.
Well, good luck on the 31st of January. And I want to thank you for the interview, but I'm trying to understand the ideas behind the concert. Of course, the guests and that kind of stuff. But you know what got you to this point and recognizing that the notion of utilizing your catalog, one, and creating almost a new audience aesthetic, two.
Exactly.
I think that's critically important, and I think you're doing an excellent job on that. And of course, with the back end of St. Lucia Tourism, I think they see the vision, and hopefully that could be also play for Trinidadian artists too. Mm.
Yeah, I really want to thank them for coming on board, you know, with me. Last year when I came on, I came to them, I said, guys, I am doing something. This is a long shot here. I am trying something that I've never done, you know, before. Yeah. But the end game is this, the long-term game is, you know, this. And they were like, Teddy, you know, you're an ambassador, you know, for St. Lucia, you know, and we will come on and help, you know, in any way that we can. So I want to thank them, the SLTA. I want to thank Export St. Lucia also for coming on board. I want to thank Republic Bank, you know, St. Lucia and Trinidad for just joining forces and, you know, coming on board also, Slam, you know, all of the Guardian Media, you know, Chambers, everybody that's, you know, we don't hardly have, it's not a thing where you have a whole bunch, you know, at sponsored for different things, but we just want to be able to thank everybody that saw it and that just really wanted to take a chance, you know, with us and organize it. Nigel, thank you.
You're not a problem.
You know, thank you for your words. I know you keep it real. And
try my best.
If it's something, you know, yeah. And we've always had these kind of people around us.
Oh, people don't know you, but they want to. They talking about you. Must be something about you. Smile in your face. Talking you bad, making up things far from the facts. While you're talking and talking and talking about me, I'll be pressing on doing my thing. I'm telling you, please don't judge me. God don't put you to watch me. He don't like ugly.
You've been listening to Island Music Chat with St. Lucian singer Teddison John. This show is produced by iRadio.tt. I am Nigel Campbell. Thank you for listening.
Keep on talking, you're Cavalier.